Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
We're starting a brand new collection of talks today called Stories Jesus Told. Now, I love stories. I'm a big movie guy. I enjoy a good Netflix show because I think stories are really powerful. They have an effect on us. And Jesus told stories because he wanted what he was teaching to have an effect on you and I. He wanted us to kind of get to know it and catch it. He wanted to teach us the powerful things of God. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about specific stories that Jesus told. And they were way better than just nighttime lullabies. They were powerful stories that I believe can impact our life even today. So the title of today's message, if you want to get your notes out, it's funny, I was hanging with a couple this week, and I said, hey, what stuck out to you about Local City? What was one of the reasons you loved the church? And they said, oh, the notes. And I was like, oh, no, what really was it? I said, no, the notes. I love being able to follow along and write some things down and fill in the blanks. So I encourage you, do that today so that God can teach you something. Whether you want to do it digitally by tapping the disc in front of you or filling them out, I believe God has something special for you. So what were the stories that Jesus told? Well, he called them parables. But the title of today's message, before I jump to that, is Brokenhearted Breakthrough. There's been things in our life that have maybe broken our heart. Now, I'm not just talking about maybe Lifetime movie breaking your heart, right? I'm talking about sometimes spiritual things or emotional things or yes, relational things that have broken our heart. But I feel like it's in those moments that we have two choices, that we can stay broken or that we can break through into a new thing that God has for us. That we can either stay the way we are, or we can break through into a new level, into a new life, into a new significant change that God has for you and I. My hope for you today is that you will break through. Again, turn to the person next to you, tell them, hey, it's time to break through. Time to break through, let them know. Not stay the same way anymore, break through. As I say before, this is more of a conversation than just me talking at you. So it's good with some amens, some excitement about what God's doing during the message. But so Jesus told stories, right? Thank you. Jesus told stories, right? And so he had a specific name for them. They were called parables. Write this down for me. A parable is a simple story to show a significant truth. So he talked about things like sheep and coins and different things that people could understand. Seeds. He talked about parties. He talked about things that were relatable so that they could understand the significant truth that he was trying to communicate to them. And I think it's important for us to realize that Jesus, when he's teaching, even when he's teaching us today, that he's doing whatever it takes to communicate something to you. He wants to show you who he is and the life that God has given you. He wants to make it easy for you to understand the beautiful things of knowing God and knowing the hope that has a name, which is Jesus. Actually, the word parable can translate to the phrase cast aside. Now, what does that mean? It's not cast aside out of like negligence. It's cast aside of saying, hey, I'm going to throw this very significant thing right next to something very simple so that you can catch it, so that you can understand it, so that it can work together to help you realize some really powerful things. Here's what one of the Gospels says about Jesus' stories. In Mark chapter 4, it says this, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. Here's the thing, you're going to understand as much of Jesus as you want to. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So here's the goal today, is to realize that Jesus taught parables and stories to the crowd, but then he drew his community that followed him, he explained what they meant. So we're going to do both those things today. And my hope today is that maybe you would take a step closer out of the crowd into the community that Jesus is calling you to follow him and trust him. Because here's three things I know about the parables of Jesus and things that it shows us. Number one is that Jesus understands our life. He is not some distant God who has no idea what it's like to be human. Life is hard. Can I get an amen if you agree with that, right? Life is hard. Amen. Amen. All right. So when I say amen, you say amen back. All right. Life is hard. Amen. Hey. Yeah. All right. There we go. So life is hard. And Jesus understands how hard life can be. He had people betray him. He had people gossip about him. He had issues with his family. All the things that we've walked through, Jesus walked through, and even then some. Because chances are people aren't trying to kill you when you leave this room today, but they were trying to do that to Jesus. He understands the weight of life. Number two, though, is he helps us understand the things of God. I just want you to know that Jesus doesn't look at you and say, all right, figure this whole thing out on your own. He wants you to understand the things of God. He wants you to understand the things that he has for you. The third thing is he wants us to know the truth and live differently. He wants us to know the truth and live differently. See, that's two-sided. It's not just about knowing the truth. It's also about living differently. Jesus wants you to change the direction of your life. God wants you to trust him with where he's showing you that your life really belongs and the things that he really has for you. And sometimes that requires a little bit of living differently. That's the invitation today. So let's pray and believe that today. Let's pray and believe that God would really speak to us as we step into our conversation together. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We love you so much, and we know that you are a good God. And Father, we pray that as we lean in to the things that you have for us and these parables that Jesus taught, we pray they would make sense to us. We pray that we would begin to open our hearts to them. We pray that we would connect to them in a powerful way. And God, I pray for us in this room, and I pray for all of our kids in Local City Kids next door as well, that they would learn the great things of Jesus, be with our incredible teachers and leaders. And Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we all say and agree, amen and amen. Local City, would you do me a favor? Give a nice shout and clap to everybody watching for Local City Church online today. Let them hear you. Come on, so glad you're watching with us. Come on, we love having you watch, but hey, if you're waiting to come back in the house, what are you waiting for? Come hang next week. Well, I love the idea that God is constantly reminding us of the good things that he has. And like I said before, I need a lot of reminders in my life. And I also need some help when I'm trying to wake up and move on to the next thing. Now, if you didn't know this, I'm going to ask you to shout out some appreciation. We have some volunteers that we call the home team here at Local City. We're the home team because we're the home team that wins every Sunday, because every Sunday people come in this room to hear about Jesus, and there are people that transform this middle school to be a church every single Sunday. Why don't you give them a shout of appreciation to all of our home team members? We love them. They're awesome. And our earliest team arrives here around like 6 a.m. to make sure that church is set up and ready for you guys. And I try to wake up early too to make sure I'm here. People are here at 6. I'm trying to wake up at 6, you know, get a little bit more sleep because I got to teach and all that stuff. But I still want to be here, be supportive, and be excited about what God's doing. So normally I try to wake up at 6 o'clock. Now, for those of us who use alarms and maybe use the alarm on our phone, this may be what your phone looks like when you're trying to wake up at 6 a.m. There's a picture of it. You know, maybe give yourself a 10-minute buffer. I'm going to set the alarm at 5:50, and I know I'm up then. No snoozes. I'm ready to go. Feet hit the floor, right? Well, I wish that was my case, but I just got to tell you, my phone doesn't really look like that when I have to wake up early. Let me be vulnerable with you. Here's an invitation to what my phone looks like when I'm trying to wake up early. Go ahead and show the picture, right? This is what I try to do, right? I got to every few minutes, even I have like the last chance alarms, right? Like 6:15, 6:30. You know, you ever had those moments? I had these all the time. I was very foolish when I was at college, and I was like, sure, I'm an adult now. I can take a 7:30 a.m. class. And then I would roll over after the snooze and be like, oh my gosh, it's 9 o'clock, missed my class, right? I'm a big snooze guy. I need all the different alarms going, right? I even have this little wristband called a Whoop that monitors my tracking, and they even have an alarm system on that, like it monitors your sleep and fitness, and it has an alarm that it vibrates. Well, I don't wake up to the vibrating little thing on my arm. I'm like, is there a setting that like shocks you? Like, can I give you permission to give me an electrical shock to wake me up? But here's the thing. Whether it's a first-time reminder or you need a couple snoozes or a shock, God is never going to give up on trying to wake you up to the life that he has for you. They say the biggest difference of trying to wake up early is the distance from your feet laying on the bed to standing on the floor. What I'm hoping to do for you today is give you an invitation to move from that sleeping on your life position and kind of stand in the things that God's invited you to stand in. To wake up to the life that Jesus bought for you through his body, his broken body, and his blood on the cross. And the fact that it's not in sad news that we celebrate that, it's that we celebrate that Jesus is alive today, and I want to wake up to the things that he has for me. So again, Jesus taught these parables, these simple stories, to help us see the significant truths that he had for us. And so we're going to talk about one of the most famous ones called the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, before we read it today, comes from Luke chapter 15. And what you see in Luke chapter 15 is the whole chapter is parables. And the majority of the parables are about this idea: something is lost and becomes found. So what is that? What is the main thing Jesus is trying to tell us through these parables? Is that, hey, your life has value. And if God feels like he's lost you, he's going to try and find you. The first parable is the parable of the shepherd, where we get leaving the 99 to find the one sheep that has gone astray, that the shepherd will go and find that sheep, will go and search the highways and byways until he can find that sheep and bring him home. The second thing is the parable of the lost coin, where we see this woman who turns her house upside down to find something that she values. And the third one that we see is the prodigal son. We see a story of a relationship between a father and a son, decisions and consequences, and what's possible when you remember just how good our Heavenly Father God is. So let's read it first, and then we'll unpack some things. So if you have your notes, look at the back page. We got Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11 on there. If you're reading through your actual Bible, let's go. So here we go, the first few words I love. It says, to illustrate the point further. Now, this is important for me, because I think it's so important to realize that Jesus really wants you to get what he's trying to show you. He's trying to give you those extra office hours as your professor to let you know what you need to know. I needed a lot of extra office hours in my career at Florida State and USF. When I was a freshman, I made the huge mistake of picking classes that sounded interesting rather than picking classes I knew would be easy, all right? Just letting you on the insider look at what kind of student I am, right? So when I was picking classes when I was a freshman at Florida State, I was like, oh man, you know, I've taken biology before. Let me take astronomy. Wow, study of the stars. This is awesome. Little did I know that astronomy is like 90% math and calculations that are like way over my head. And I had a Russian professor who I could barely understand when he was teaching in class. I'm like, yo, man, where's like how to find the Big Dipper or Orion's Belt? That's what I was wanting. What is all these like joules and energy calculations that you're trying to teach me? So I was really doing bad. And so he said, hey, I have office hours today after class. Why don't you come see me? And I said, all right, I'm there. I go in, he rattles on for like an hour and a half and does some calculations and equations on the board, and I left more confused than when I walked in, right? And the thing is, though, I love Jesus. He's like, hey, come hang out for the office hours, and you're going to understand the point I'm trying to tell you, because I'm going to make it very easy. And here's the point that he gives. Jesus tells them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now, you got to realize what has just been said. The younger son essentially just said to his father, hey, I know I'm supposed to get a lot of money when you die, but I'd rather you just be dead now, so can I have it now? Think about that, the weight of what he just said. And think about the response of his father. He gives it to him. Says he divides his wealth and their inheritance among his two sons. Then what happens? Well, a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Now, what does this tell me? It tells me, number one, that the father puts things in our hands that are valuable. You have been given something that's valuable. It is your life. Your inheritance is the breath in your lungs that God gave you when he created us. He breathed life into the dirt in the ground, and hey, yo, here we are. The thing is that we have value, but we have choice on whether or not we're going to steward that value well. What does it say? This son went and wasted all his money on wild living. What does this tell me? That I have a very important choice. I can live well by trusting God, or I can live wasteful by doing what I want. There's a big chance that we can waste our life. And guess what? We've only been given one. Soap opera my grandma used to watch with me, One Life to Live, right? Like, we only got one life. That's it. There is no second chance. Now, this is not a doom and gloom message, but it is a reality message. of that you can waste your days here on this earth. And the way we waste them is doing whatever we want in what is called in this story, wild living. And that always has a cost. Here's what it says. So he wasted money in wild living. At about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding, now pods is another word for like just garbage, the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger." This is an important line. "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" Another important line. "So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.'" I love these words. "So the party began." I mean, that's what we think about on Sundays here, is that it's a party. It's a celebration. Because at one point we were lost. At one point we were dead. But now we're found and we're alive. Listen, if you grew up in a tradition that made church boring, can Local City kind of change that for you and bring a little fun and laughter and party freedom back into your life? That, yo, we were dead, but now we're alive and there's joy in the house today. Come on, can we show some joy today? I was lost and I was invited back home. See, what today is about is this word home, understanding what home means. See, I grew up with some amazing parents. I'm blessed, and I say that every day to God. Thank you, God, for blessing me with amazing parents and amazing home life, because I know that is not the norm. But what I celebrate today is that our family still lives close to us, and one of the things, I just turned 36 years old, that my mom still tells me when I'm coming over to her house is, "Hey, do you still have your key?" Yeah, of course I do. Why? Because she wants me to remind me and let me know that, hey, you have access to home. You have access to this house. Can I encourage you today, Local City, that God has told you and he is inviting you and he is giving you the key to come back home. And that key is Jesus. But here's the thing. We're all adults in here. There are a lot of choices that we have to make to use that key and to walk through the door. God is not a God who is going to force you into anything. The beauty of this life is that we have a choice. The burden of this life is that we have a choice. And sometimes the most important thing we can do is make the right choice. And what is the right choice? Always returning back home to where God is. And you see that in this story. The son goes off and wastes his money. Last time I checked, no one says, "Man, I can't wait to go stay the night in the pig pen. Woo! Let's go." I don't want to do that. I'll go visit them, but I'm not going to stay there. Like, Shepherd's had some friends who have birthday parties at, like, Old Mickey's farm. Like, I want to go and see the pigs. I don't want to say, you know what? That's a great place to live. I don't want to do that. But in a more spiritual sense, sometimes I do that because it's the easy choice, because I still get to be in control. See, here's the thing. The son had the choice of what he was going to do with what the father had given him, but he had no choice in what life was going to bring him. What happens in the story is the son has everything that he needs, but he's outside of his father's house. So when he spends, he doesn't get back. He's wasting. And what comes? A famine. Something he didn't expect, something he couldn't control. But that famine destroys his life because he no longer was connected to the source of where everything that he needed came from. You following me? So for us, we can get so upset that God isn't doing or giving or providing, and these storms come that we can't control, and these storms come that we didn't expect. We're like, what is happening? I'm in misery right now. And God's like, hey, you left. You wanted to do what you wanted to do. I just said yes, because you're an adult. Now my son's 6 years old. He doesn't get to do what he wants to do. But there will be a day where he has to make choices on his own. What Jesus is saying in the story is, hey, your life is made up of choices. And don't forget that you have to take ownership for those choices. And sometimes you have to realize that, actually all the time, I have to realize that God knows better than me. And God can see way farther down the road than I can. But there are times where God gives me the freedom that I ask for, and then it becomes my own destruction. Here's the first thing that we can learn. We're going to do little lessons from the parable every Sunday, all right? Here's the first thing I need you to learn this morning is that you have to acknowledge the reality of where you are. I would even add to this, you have to acknowledge the reality of where you are and how you got there. Here's something that will never bring growth to your life. If every time we get to a difficult place where we're in with the pigs, eating trash, this is everyone else's fault except for mine. This is because of what people said about me or what people did to me. This is because God's forgotten about me. See, as much as we can say, yo, this son is a little messed up, he does actually have a moment where he's honest with himself and says, I'm here because of my choices. I'm here because of the decisions that I made. I have to acknowledge the reality of where I am and how I got there, because if I don't do that, I will never take steps out of that pig pen. If I don't say, you know what, this is where I am and this is horrible, it stinks literally and figuratively, and I don't want to be here anymore, I have to make the choice to step out of it. See, it's too often in our life we begin to play the blame game, and it's everyone else's fault. But hey, listen, I'm not validating what people have said about you or what people have done to you, because I'm definitely not validating what people have done to me, but I am valuing the importance of me taking ownership of the decisions I make in response to those things, in response to the things people say, in response to the things that people do, in response to the storms I experience in life. What will my response be? Acknowledge where I am and how I got here. Here's a couple things I need you to know, local city. If you feel far from God, I would ask you, who do you think moved? Because God doesn't play games. He's not up in heaven saying, hey, Jesus, watch this. I'm going to tell them to come follow me. And then as soon as they do, I'm going to pull the rug out from under them and their life is going to go haywire. It's going to be so fun to watch. He doesn't do that. God's not a God with a magnifying glass like that punk little kid magnifying the sun on ants, right? God's not doing that to you. If you feel like God has moved, it's probably because I have begun to move. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That doesn't mean he's not calling us deeper, but there is a big difference between following Jesus deeper and realizing I need to take steps closer, and there's a big difference between that and moving the exact opposite direction. I want you to know that God has always been where he has been, here with you, in this room on a Sunday, in his word, in your morning. That's why we talk about the first 15, committing to the first 15, that 5 minutes of God's word, 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of worship can bring God into my life and bring God into my day. Sundays is the start of the week because I realize that, man, I need to be around some people and I need to acknowledge the power of God when I'm in the presence of other broken, messed up people just like me. I need to realize that, man, I have made decisions that have moved me away from God, but I know I may be 1,000 steps away. I may feel like 1,000 steps, but really I'm only one. So I'm going to acknowledge the reality of where I am, and I'm going to remember that God is a good God, and I'm going to start the direction back home. As much as we want to attack the prodigal son, he does make a good decision. He says, I know what God is like. I know what my father is like, so I'm going to go back in his direction. Some of us need to realize that, man, God is good. Some of us used to have such a vibrant, powerful relationship with God, but we let other people get in the way, we let hurt get in the way, or we let ourselves get in the way. We have forgotten just how good God is. Maybe you've never experienced that. From the bottom of my heart, as the pastor of this house, I want you to experience the reality of how good God is, because I can't explain it enough. I would never do it justice. But we want you to have a moment where you experience the goodness of God, experience the power of his house, so you can say, man, I got myself here, but I know how much better it is. What does he even say? It would be better to be a servant in my father's house than what I'm doing right now. See, when I do my own thing, it may feel good for a little bit, but man, eventually I'm going to end up alone where no one will help me. I'm going to be in misery. My stuff is going to run out because I've disconnected myself from the source. So here's the second thing as we begin to build these. Acknowledge the reality of where you are and how you got there. Number two is, though, you have to make a significant change. Here's the thing. Significant breakthrough will always be on the other side of significant change. Breakthrough doesn't just happen accidentally. I wish it did. My son is into Legos right now. We just went to Legoland on Friday. It was like 80% stressful, 20% fun, all right? But we do it because we love him, right? And we'll still do it, right? Waiting in line with a six-year-old for 45 minutes, that's no one's definition of fun, right? So the thing is, though, we have to understand that what I'm teaching Shepherd about Legos is that, hey, they don't just come assembled out of the box. They have instructions for a reason. And you got to take the instructions step by step by step. Sometimes you got to look for the right piece. Here's the thing. If you want significant change in your life, you're going to have to follow the instructions. If you want significant breakthrough in your life, you're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to realize, yeah, I know what the picture on the box looks like, but I have no idea how to get there, so I'm just going to trust God. And I'm going to make these significant changes one step at a time until I get to that breakthrough masterpiece that God's trying to build in my life. I would ask you this, maybe even right now in this moment, close your eyes, take a deep breath. What is that significant change I need to make? Is it prioritizing my personal time with God? Is it prioritizing God's house? Is it getting rid of some bad relationships in my life? Is it stopping watching that or listening to that? Let me give you two really practical ones. You ready for these? These are great. It amazes me how many people I talk to that have been following Jesus for a long time that have never been baptized. Now, what is baptized? It is the decision that you make to be water baptized, just like Jesus did in his adult life, where you step into a body of water or a little baptismal tank that we'll have here next week, and you get baptized, and it symbolically represents the fact that your old life is gone and the new life is here. And if you have never been water baptized as an adult since following Jesus, or you feel like you're in a position where you need to re-surrender and recommit, can I encourage you to sign up for baptism like today and be here next Sunday as we celebrate baptism during both services? I mean, I'm just telling you, I know it may seem like, oh, you're just trying to get me to do a religious thing. No, I'm trying to get you to take the Lego instructions to how to get to the life God has for you. So we can celebrate when you come out of that life. Yo, come out of that water like, yo, that person was dead and now they're alive. They were lost and they've been found. We want to celebrate what God's doing in your life. We want to push you on to the next thing. And I believe you keep hitting that wall is because you're not making the changes God has asked you to make. Why would I stare at all those 1,000 Lego pieces and try to figure out on my own? When God says, hey, the instruction book's right there. I'm trying to help you make a significant change. The second thing is today we have, right after service, is Serve 101. Some of you just need to realize that you're valuable. Some of us need to realize that we have a part to play in the Father's house. And that it's better as a hired servant in God's house than doing my own thing outside of God's house. Why do people wake up at 6 a.m. to set up church for you? Because they know how powerful church can be and how powerful it's been for them in their life. There is nothing better than knowing that I got to be a part of what God is doing. Listen, it's not a thing where we need your help. Don't come to Serve 101 if that's what you think. We're just inviting you to the party because we're the home team that wins every Sunday. Because every Sunday someone shows up in this room who needs a touch from God, and we set the stage to make that happen. God does it, but we make it possible by our servant heart, by our servanthood, to make sure that we can see God move in someone's life. Take a practical step. Get baptized next week. I want to celebrate with you. I get all wet in the middle of service and then preach the message with wet arms because I love Baptism Sunday so much. And we'll get you down. We'll make sure you come out washed clean. It's good. I love it that much, but I also love the fact that I get to serve with you. Some of the best friendships in our church have formed because of people joining the serve team. And here you go, some marriages as well. Woo! All right, let's keep going. All right. Now, the third thing is this, is that you have to realize that when you come to God's house, you return to God's house, but you repent of the wrong things you've done, and then you are restored. It's not just about returning. What did the son have to do? What is Jesus saying? Hey, it's not just about coming back. You got to have a moment of honesty where you say, I messed up. That is one of the best things I can ever say to my wife. I was wrong. That's some free marital counseling right there. I was wrong. They'll bring a lot of breakthrough in your marriage and your friendships and your relationships. It'll bring you a ton of breakthrough in your relationship with God. You say, God, I was wrong. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And see, repentance is more than forgiveness because it's not just saying I'm turning away from that sinful thing, but I'm turning towards God. Some of us, we forget the second part of that turn. Like, if you turn away from your sin, what are you turning to? You're just going to go back. But when you turn away from your sin and repent, you're turning to your heavenly Father God, who is way better and makes you never really want to turn back because you understand how good this is. You know what the son appreciated? He's like, I'm back in my father's house. I am never going to take this for granted again. Because my father is good. He brought me back in, and then he threw a party. Like, I mean, I don't know if I like to think I'm a good dad. I don't know if I'm throwing a party for that son. Like, hey, man, your room's like we left it. You can go sleep in there. But we got some things to talk about in the morning. This dad was like, man, we've been waiting for this. I'm ready to throw a party because my son, who was lost, is now found. Do you understand that Jesus is telling this parable so that you understand that that is God's heart towards you? That he's waiting for you on the front porch in his old man rocking chair, waiting for you to come across that hill. And he's not saying, all right, keep coming. As soon as he sees your head coming over that hill, he gets up, runs down those stairs, runs up the hill, and embraces you and says, welcome home. I've been waiting for you. It's a party today because my son and daughter has been found. Here's the last thing. Pretty easy. Do it now. You know what the son doesn't say? Man, it's so much better at my father's house, but I deserve this pig pen for a little while longer. I've got to work my way out of it. I've got to earn that money back. I've got to do my own works and then my father will accept me. No. It's all the things that he messed up with. Man, he gets this moment right. He says, I know it's better in my father's house and I'm leaving and going right now. Some of us, we just don't forget. We've just forgotten that we should probably just do it now. You talk about budgeting. When's the best time to save money? Now or 10 years ago, right? Like, when's the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago. When's the best time to give your life to Jesus? Now. Unfortunately, you can't go back in time, but you do have this moment. Why wait? Why still wait to make that significant change? Get water baptized next week if you've said yes to Jesus. At the end of the service today, say yes to Jesus. Get back in God's house. Realize that you have a purpose inside of you that will make God's house better in an instant when you realize the purpose that he has given you to serve others. Some of you have talents and abilities that you are sitting on day in and day out because of you're afraid of inconvenience or you're afraid of being used. I don't know what it may be, but why don't you just do it now and give God a chance to show you who you are in his house? Why don't you get rid of that unhealthy relationship that you've been dealing with? Why don't you start giving now? Not because you have to, because you realize, what do I have to lose? Why am I waiting? I was a youth pastor for a long time, and I used to tell this to my students. I would say, imagine if I gave you $1 million check, and all you had to do was take it to the bank. Would you wait? Like, would you be like, you know what? I got some things to do. I'm gonna take this later on. I'm gonna take this maybe tomorrow. No, if it was me, I'm checking how much later is the bank open. if it's like the bank closes at 5 and it's 4:52, I'm getting some speeding tickets, getting to that bank. I'm cashing in what's been given me. Can I tell you today, you need to cash in what's been bought for you? Life, eternity, hope, joy, forgiveness, and freedom has been bought for you. So just do it now. Why wait? Here's the verse that really challenges me every day of my life from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this, then if my people, you are God's people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive and I will restore. The huge word in this verse is if. If you do it, God will do it. But we have to make the choice to return home, repent and be restored. And why wait? I'm passionate about this because I don't want you to waste your life. And any direction ran away from God or sideways is a waste. But every small baby step towards God is worth it. Because that's who you are. That's the direction God has called you to live. Your place is in God's house. It says in the book of Psalms that better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather hold a door in God's house than do anything else. And I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I mean that. I love God's house. I love his people. And God has something amazing for you. And it didn't just start with the party. It was the fact that the son was back and he could live in his father's house again. Carry on the legacy of the good news of his heavenly father, of his good father. So today I would say, hey, if you want it, Humble yourself. Call on Jesus and he will forgive. He will hear you and then he will restore you. Brokenhearted breakthrough. You may feel broken right now. You may feel burdened right now, but today could be the day of breakthrough. And it starts with simply coming back home, accepting the embrace of your Father, and trusting that he knows better than I do. Don't take my word for it. Take your experience of God for it. Take his word for it. And I pray that you would have that this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me?
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.